Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Do you have a will? Are you aware of how many people don't have wills? And if you do have a will, what about your parents? Do they have wills? And do you know what's in them? Well, as a child who has an elderly parent, then you may need to know. We're going to talk with Andy Cohen. He is the founder of Caring.com, and he is going to give us information on wills, a lot of stuff. And his organization recently just sponsored a study, and that study had to do with the lack of wills in the American population. Andy, were you surprised at the lack of wills in our population?
You know, I wasn't, because on Caring.com, we hear a lot of horror stories from adult children whose parents have passed away without leaving wills or trusts in place, and all the mess they've had to clean up going through the probate courts and other difficult things they've had to go through. So we knew it was an issue, and that's why we commissioned the survey, so that we had some data to really show that it is over half the families in America don't have wills and living trusts in place.
Now, I don't believe you're a lawyer, so I don't want this to be a legal question, but it's not that difficult to set up a simple will, is it, so that estates, if they're modest estates particularly, and isn't that what most of us have?
I mean, it's just like filing your taxes. You can use an attorney to do it, or you can go on the internet and find lots of programs where you can do it, like LegalZoom and WillMaker and things. They're $60, $70, so it isn't a hard thing to do in this day and age.
And so really people should do that, even though they think, well, I don't have any assets. Well, they probably have more than they think.
Yeah, you know, if you have a bank account with over $10,000, if you have a home or any other property, you absolutely should put a will together, because if you don't indicate where you'd like your assets to go, whether to a charity or to a friend or to a family member or to a child, the courts will decide for you. So it's really you having some control over your estate and getting a say. Otherwise, the courts will decide for you, and there's a substantial cost to that in terms of lawyer fees and probate fees.
Well, and the fact is that parents need to do this. Elderly parents, the parents in the middle, the sandwich generation, need to do it for their kids. But everybody needs to talk about this, and wills shouldn't be something that you're ashamed to discuss. I mean, at least telling your kids that you've got a will and that the major provisions, if there's something they need to know about beforehand, you don't really have to talk about distribution of assets or things like that, but they should know where it is and all of that, shouldn't they? I mean, aren't there some essential things that need to be talked about here?
That's exactly right, Shirley. And one of the things we found in our survey, that even of the half of the families that said, yes, our parents do have wills and trusts, but we don't know where they are. So putting together the estate documents isn't enough. You need to get copies of them to your attorney or to your children or to someone that knows where they are. So if something happens to you, they can access those documents.
Okay. And so you don't have to go into specifics. You don't have to say, I'm giving Johnny $10,000 and Johnny second to only, you know, Sam, $3,000. I mean, that's not what you have to discuss, right?
No, you just have to say, yes, we have the documents, and here's where they are if something happens to us.
Mm-hmm. And they
should. And the time to do it is, you know, for adult children who have parents in their 50s and 60s, their parents are probably in their 80s, even if they're in great health, that's the best time to do it, because then it's not an emotional thing. Hey, Mom,
right,
or Dad, you probably have got another 20, 30 years to go, but let's just take care of this so that there aren't any problems if something happens to you, and you can appeal them to do it for their spouse or to do it for their kids.
Do you, when you were doing this survey, Andy, did you look into why people don't have wills? Do they think it's complicated? Do they not understand the need? I mean, why would you want your estate, no matter how modest it is, to go through probate?
Well, I think people don't realize what a mess it is for them to leave behind. And this is something, you know, death is a subject that people don't like to think about or talk about. So people just put it off. I live in California, and people are the same way about earthquakes. You know, people don't prepare mm-hmm. till the ground is shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, people don't want to face end of life. But it's so easy to do, and it's so important to do. There's really no reason to wait.
Mm. Well, so the big thing that we have to talk about here is getting over that hurdle of sitting down and discussing about life ending. And you don't have to put it in those terms, but letting your kids know what is in place. What is your plan? I mean, we sat down and had a conversation. I only have one son. We talked about the will, where it was. I mean, we even told him about some of the provisions in it. I mean, He's our only kid. I mean, we're going to share that with him. But and that was not a difficult conversation because at this point, my husband and I are healthy and hope we have a long life ahead of us. But nevertheless, it was something we felt we had to do. So we've got to get over that hurdle and then realizing that it's not expensive. Tell me something, Andy. How did you get started in caring.com? You started this organization to provide resources to people who are searching for answers and help with elderly parents. Right.
Yeah, so Shirley, caring.com is a free website, and each month 3 million family caregivers visit the site. I started it 8 years ago after caring for my mom during her losing battle with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had passed away from a stroke. My mom got cancer. I was acting as her caregiver, and I kept going on the internet trying to find answers to questions, and there weren't any good sites to help me figure out what to do. There were lots of sites for planning a wedding and lots of sites for preparing for a baby, but there were no sites for caring for an aging parent. So I started caring.com as a free resource for adult children caring for aging parent. And again, we now have 3 million visitors a month to the site.
What would you, what would people come there for?
Well, people come with questions about health issues, how to pay for senior care. One of the most popular features on the site is our ratings and reviews of senior housing communities, sort of like a TripAdvisor for senior housing.
Ooh, I love it. Okay.
If your mom or dad needs assisted living or memory care, you can see what other people's experiences were in those places and pick accordingly which ones to tour. We also have online support groups where people can support each other anonymously if they're dealing with something difficult like dementia. But we get a lot of questions about legal documents because so many people's parents who now have dementia, those parents didn't prepare legal documents, and it's very difficult if someone isn't of sound mind to get those documents put together. So you don't want to wait for this.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've always been told was to make sure that you have a power of attorney so that if something happens to you, someone else can act in your stead. And of course, you have to be very careful when you give these out. You make sure that they're to someone, and they're revocable, I believe.
Well, many people put together a power of attorney for medical, it's called a medical directive,
mm-hmm.
and that appoints someone to make those difficult decisions for you. If you're hospitalized and the doctor says, well, you're in a coma and you're going to have to be on a breathing tube or a feeding tube, someone needs to make those decisions for you, and so it's important to appoint someone who knows what your wish is. Some people say, I don't want to be on those machines. Some people say, well, I do, and so you need to put those wishes in writing and have authorized someone to be your advocate. Another thing a lot of people miss is if they have adult children like you, they should have the adult child give them their medical power of attorney. So, you know, once the child turns 18, if something happens to them, they're in a car accident, you as their parent aren't the people the doctor will listen to unless you have a medical power of attorney.
Oh, my goodness. That is so important. Absolutely. Okay. Let's just take a brief pause here, Andy, to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Andy Cohen. He is the founder of Caring.com, which is an online free resource for consumers for all kinds of information if you're dealing with an elderly parent. Also, it's information for us as the sandwich generation. I'm a little bit beyond that, Andy, I have to tell you. But for the things that you need to know, the questions that you need to have, how you need to interact with your elderly parents and with your own adult children. Now, tell me, in the study, there were some very interesting things about who actually does have a will. And it was funny to me because you found that Republicans are more likely to have a parent with a will than Democrats.
Yes, that was one of the findings. Very interesting. I guess Republicans are more state document minded. We also found some geographic differences. People in the Midwest tended to have a higher incidence of wills, and then women were more knowledgeable about where the wills were, and men were more knowledgeable what was in the will. So there were some slight differences, but the data that's most shocking is that half of Americans don't have wills and trusts in place.
Now, here was the interesting thing to me. You're saying that Americans in the Midwest are more likely to have a parent with a will or living trust than any other region.
Yes. You know, maybe it's that Midwest stoicism. They know that, you know, life is going to come to an end and they prepare for it. It might be something to do with all the bad weather they have in the Midwest. They're used to preparing for disasters.
Now, with all the visitors that you get there, do you see a trend in the types of questions that consumers are asking?
Well, more and more consumers are struggling on how to pay for long-term care. It's not something that's covered by Medicare. Medicare will cover hospital stays and short-term skilled nursing, but after 90 days, folks need to pay for long-term care on their own, whether it's in-home care or senior housing. And most people are very unprepared and very surprised that Medicare doesn't cover long-term care.
So you've got to, and of that, of course, I assume would mean you would have to have some sort of an insurance policy.
So only less than 10% of Americans have long-term care insurance. So most are either paying out of their own savings, paying out of their parents' savings, or bringing their parents in to live with them, mm-hmm. because the long-term care can be quite expensive.
Now, do you provide resources for people in their own communities? For example, I'm here in Washington, D.C. area. Would your website provide information for me on care centers and that sort of thing? You talk about you're the Trip Advisor of Senior Citizen Centers, living facilities. Does that cover the whole country?
It does, and it covers several categories. We cover assisted living, memory care, independent living, in-home care, hospice. So any kind of senior care category, skilled nursing facilities, will show you a description of the facility, where it is, if there are Medicare ratings for it, if not, what the consumer's ratings are for it. You can even book a tour on the site if you want to go visit any of those places.
My goodness, that's quite an effort. It must have taken you some time to put that together. How do you arrive at this? Is it based on public data?
So we'll pull licensure data from the states to list the facilities that are licensed, and then consumers sometimes tell us about places, and that's how we learn about them. But mostly we're getting the data from the state licensures.
Yeah, because the complaints that come into there should be public record. But you're putting it together for us.
Some
yes.
states have websites. Some states do not make those public. So mm-hmm. it's a patchwork.
I see. Okay. Are there other things that people can do for themselves using your website, using caring.com? But beyond that, are there senior programs in our communities that people can use as well? I know some communities have more senior services than others.
Yeah, well, one of the Older Americans Act provided funding for each state and several, and in some states, several counties to have what's called area agencies on aging. Mm-hmm. And these are paid for by the federal government, and they're clearinghouses of senior services and senior information. Mm-hmm. They often have hotlines where you can call and get advice. So in caring.com, we have a national directory of all the area agencies on aging in the U.S., and they're often a good place to start for information at a local level.
Because we only deal with elderly parents once in our lives. So
yeah, and it's all on the job training.
That's right. It can be scary.
Any other life event, you've got your parents there to help you. This is one of those life events where your parents are not able and sometimes not willing to help you, so people are trying to figure it out on their own. AARP also has some wonderful caregiving resources at mm-hmm. aarp.org/caregiving mm-hmm. on their site, mm-hmm. And there are some other nice nonprofits as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, now we do have computers and we can get access to a lot more information, but I do think we have to know whether or not we can trust that information. Now, you vet anything that you list on your website, is that right?
Yes, we do, and we also have 85,000 consumers that help us by providing these ratings and reviews mm-hmm. on the communities. One thing to be careful on the web is, make sure that who's ever providing the website lists their name and address and pictures of who the people behind it are. That's usually a red flag. If you go to a website and you can't find the name of the company or the business address, that's probably one to avoid.
Yeah.
But there are many good .orgs, .govs, and many good .coms as well, but there are ones that aren't good, and usually the ones that aren't good, you can't figure out who's the people behind it.
Okay. Yeah, that's very good advice, because the web is kind of an anonymous place, and if you don't know who you're dealing with, you could be providing sensitive information to someone that's going to use it for something
yeah.
you might not like. So, yes. Are there, now you said that how to pay for care for elderly is one of the biggest complaints. What are some of the other general complaints that consumers are worried about?
Well,
I think one of the things that would concern me
caring for for an aging parent is when they should stop driving. And so that's a very emotional, difficult issue. One of the things we put on Caring.com based on consumer requests were the driving laws in all 50 states on when people need to be tested and what the requirements are. And this is, you know, taking away the key is a very difficult thing. It's a big loss of independence, and it may create a burden for the family on having to drive mom or dad around. And so we have all sorts of conversation starters on how to broach the topic, warning signs to look for, like dents on the car or mirrors that are missing, to try to understand when it's not safe. And then, you know, some ideas on easing parents into driving less at night and things like that.
Yeah, because, well, I guess night driving is scary for some elderly. I have some elderly friends who do not like to drive at night. I guess that's partly due to vision and partly just being a little bit more timid. I'm not sure.
But well, it's why it's so exciting that self-driving cars are starting to come along, because I think those will be, I don't think they'll ever drive by on their own, but they will be allow more seniors to be more comfortable driving at night, because the car will be helping more than it is right now.
Well, they have so many safety features. I mean, warning lights for everything. And you know,
yeah, I live in Silicon Valley, and I see them driving along all the time, all the Google cars, and none of them ever have accidents. They're the safest cars on the road.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Hang on a minute, Andy. Let's just let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Andy Cohen. He's the founder of Caring.com, and we're talking about lack of wills and parents, and the fact that their kids don't know whether they have a will or not, and in many cases don't know where the will is, even if they know that one exists. So that's a kind of thing that we have to establish conversations between parents and children, or if you're in the sandwich generation, between you, your elderly parents, and your young adult children. So those dialogues are really important. One of the things you said that made such an impression on me was that all children should have a medical, once you turn 18, I believe you said was the magic age, you need to have a medical power of attorney in place. And I assume that means for single, if you're married would that still be a requirement for the kids?
If your kids want you to be involved in their lives, yes. So if they're married, maybe their spouse will take over, but we see this when kids go off to college, they get in an accident, and the parents, you know, fly to the hospital, and the doctors say, well, do you have a medical power of attorney? We can't tell you even what's going on with your kid.
Wow.
You don't have a legal right to that information. So
Wow.
It's a big problem.
But if that person is married, then the spouse would have a legal right. The parents would not, but the spouse would.
Yeah, a spouse would have a legal right, yes.
Okay. Hope you like your spouse. That would be the only concern, wouldn't it? So anyway, and that's called a medical power of attorney, and that is simply to do with treatment in a hospital if you become incapacitated. Is that correct?
That's correct. And this is so important for people with aging parents to know, well, what do your parents want? And it's a difficult conversation, but you should phrase it into having them make the choice. Seniors are hanging on to their independence, and that's most important to them. So serving it as, hey, we want you to make the decision, mom or dad, not the doctors, on your care. And what would you like at the end of life? Do you want to be on breathing tubes or not? Do you want to be in the hospital or at home? What kind of care do you want? And it's really important when they're healthy for them to put that in writing. Because
that's a living will. Is that what that's called?
That's called a medical directive.
Oh, that is the medical directive. The living will is something else.
What kind of life-sustaining procedures they want at the end of their lives. Mm-hmm. And the default is, you know, the doctors will do everything they can to keep you alive as long as you want. And so if you want something different, if you don't want to be on machines, you need to put that
specify
in writing.
Specify it. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. Andy, what are some of the other things that our listeners who are dealing with elderly parents, what are some of the things they need to think about?
Well, they need to know that all these conversations, if you want these parents to put their estate documents in place, stop driving, put their wishes, they're not one conversation closes. They're something that are going to take several conversations, maybe over several years, because folks in their 80s and 90s tend to get dug in and don't want to be told by their kids what they should or shouldn't be doing, understandably. So if your parents don't have their legal documents in place, it's going to take you a while, and just be patient and persistent, and always presented as they're having their choice and their wishes followed, something you want, but something that they should want.
But that is actually exactly what you're talking about, because if you don't have these documents, then if you become incapacitated, you're going to be at the will of the hospital and the courts.
Correct.
We do not want to turn that part of our lives to someone else.
If you've worked hard and you've saved money, do you want to see, a lot of it go to legal fees and court fees? No, you want it to go where you want it to go. And so that's why you should take care of this.
And it will if it has to go through the courts and
Probate can take 2 years, cost tens of thousands of dollars. And some of the tragic things we've seen on caring.com is families whose loved ones have passed away and left debts behind, whether medical expenses or credit card expenses, and the assets get frozen in probate, and the kids aren't able to tap the assets to pay the bills, and they have to tap into their own savings. That's the mess that can happen if you don't take the steps of putting your wishes in a will and your assets in a trust. It will go to probate.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, I remember someone telling me that a will is not the answer. You actually have to set up a trust. Is that true?
Well, you need both, Shirley. And so the will is where your assets are going, and a trust, if you put your assets in the name of the trust, and this is something that's a little more legal, it's a legal issue, you still, something called a living trust, you still own the assets, but they're technically owned by the trust. You're the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
But if something happens to you, someone else becomes the successor trustee, and that's a way to avoid probate.
Okay.
So you would put your house in the name of the trust, your bank accounts in the name of the trust, and then your assets wouldn't have to go through the probate system.
So
a will is not enough. You need a will and a living trust.
Right. I thank you for affirming that, because I thought I remembered somebody telling me that you really needed both of these documents in order to protect yourself from having to go through the cost and sometimes
and
the agony
probate.
And the time of probate. And funds could be tied up in probate that may be needed to settle the estate, to settle debts,
kinds
of things.
Lawyer fees and court fees. It's just a waste of money.
Yeah, it's really a way to chew up anything that's in that estate. Okay, Andy, tell our guests again the website and some of the information they can find there.
So caring.com is a free resource for adult children who are caring for aging parents. There are thousands of articles. There's experts that can answer questions. There's online support groups. And then one of our most popular features, there are ratings and reviews of senior housing communities. If you want to decide which ones to tour, which ones might be good for your mom and dad, you can see what others' experiences were in those communities. And it really will help narrow your search.
I think that's one of the biggest things is people, many times you have to invest a good bit of money to get into one of these communities, and if you get there and you find out it's not for you, that may be money thrown down the drain. As I understand it, most of them you have to invest in.
Well, there are some that there's an upfront fee like a condominium, and then there's some that are monthly fees. Actually, more are monthly rental than the upfront payment, but there are both kinds.
Okay, so you need to investigate as to what the system is that you're getting into.
And how much care do you need? Do you need a memory care facility or not? Do you need, or could you be fine with an independent living community that just has some meal service and things? So there's different options, there's different price points, and that's why the ratings and reviews are so helpful.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a valuable asset. Just got 1 minute. Give me a few things to consumers to look for.
Yeah, so I think, the first thing you should do in senior care is absolutely get your legal documents in order. Let's just recap. You need a will, you need a living trust, and ideally a medical power of attorney so that you can be an advocate for your parents. So if you don't have those legal documents, and we have an article on caring.com, here's the legal documents you absolutely need in place, explains what they are, and gives you some ideas of where you can go to have those documents prepared.
Yeah, well, that is great information, Andy. We thank you so much for taking time out to be with us today and discuss this study, which is fascinating, and you can find all of this information at caring.com. So good information, Andy. We appreciate it because many of us are searching for answers in dealing with elderly parents. So
well,
again,
it's a tough
thank
issue,
you.
So thanks for having me on the show, Shirley. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest right here on 1500 Federal News Radio. My guest has been Andy Cohen, founder of caring.com. I'm Shirley Rooker at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.